You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Friday, the 25th of October, 2024. 25th? 2 months till Christmas. Anyway, my wife is still playing Heart Xmas in the car, has been since the start of October. Nevertheless, Keir Starmer has hinted at tax rises for those who earn their income from shares and property, saying that they did not fit his definition of working people. Ministers are expected to announce increases in inheritance tax and capital gains tax in the budget next week, next Wednesday. It drives me nuts. It drives me mad. Labour talk about growth, right? Encouraging business. Now, how do you encourage business if you intend to penalise them via capital gains tax and inheritance tax? They need to encourage people of this country to invest. It's the only credible way of creating your own wealth. They are doing the opposite. Why is it okay for the government to talk about investing and growth? They're seemingly punishing individuals who do this and succeed. Now, if you compare us to America, right, the markets in America are going gangbusters. Their economy is doing very well. Yes, there's a debt problem. That's down to the government. But economically, they're doing a lot better than us. Their markets are doing better than us. In America, over 62% of people own stocks and shares. In this country, around about 30%, half. Now, which country has outperformed? Which country has produced globally significant companies, and they continue to do so? This is no coincidence that this happens. They encourage success in America. They encourage failure. They try and fail. Doesn't matter, you learn. The US stock market is killing it. They're attracting companies from around the world, whereas the London Stock Exchange and AIM are struggling. Why is it the junior market, AIM, for example, is now at a 10-month low? It hasn't been this low since the 13th of December, 2024. Labour and their policies now are killing entrepreneurs and the market. People don't want to invest here. They go elsewhere. Wealth creators can go wherever they want, and they're probably not going to come to the UK now. Yes, we have to help people who are working people. Working people, yes, working people who can't write a cheque. Yes, if people are going to work and they're struggling, we have to help them. But why has it got to be the expense of people doing well, who've taken a risk, who work very hard, and literally are generating wealth for them and others, and are increasing the tax take the government have? Our entire culture is wrong. Investing in entrepreneurs should be encouraged. But Labour are doubling down on almost saying, if you do well, yes, we'll encourage you. If you do well, but we'll punish you by taxing you very highly. It's not going to encourage growth. You can't raise tax to encourage growth. You have to encourage growth and you take more tax because you have more successful businesses and companies like in America. We don't have any companies pretty much on a global basis that stand out. You know, like the Apples, the Googles, Nvidias, Teslas, they're not coming here. And they won't come here with these kind of policies. I don't see how they're going to see that. You create some of these companies and they employ vast amounts of people, pay vast amounts of tax. That's the way around it should be. Encourage entrepreneurship, encourage investment, encourage business. Don't tax them or de-incentivize them by saying, oh, if you do well, we will tax you a lot. It doesn't work that way round. I can't understand how they can't see this. We'll see in a few months' time when the economy takes a bit of a tanking. They'll realise then that you need to encourage business, not strangle it. Oh, by the way, my book is now on pre-order. Yes, get in there. Just go to sharepickers.com, click on the tab, The Book, and you can see all the outlets there that are will be stocking it on the 3rd of December. The price is guaranteed on pre-order, but like I said, I can't tell if it's going to go up or down because it's down to Amazon stuff. And also, if you're a regular listener of this podcast, by all means, if you could see your way to give me a nice review and a 5-star rating, that would be fantastic. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. Okay, let's have a quick look at the markets here. FTSE 100, it's down a smidge, 0.05% to 8,265. FTSE 250, it's up a fifth of 1% to 20,831. The FTSE small cap, it's flat, 6,897. And the AIM All Share, surprise, surprise, it's down a third to 723. Like I said, it hasn't seen this level since 13th of December, 23, and not in the future. Well, it should be the future, but it's not, is it? So we're at a 10-month low, and literally, it's in a nasty downtrend, just about to be oversold on the relative strength index. Commodities. Brent crude up 0.7% to $75 a barrel. We have copper. Where is copper? Let's look at gold. Gold is down a third of 1% to 2,738. Of course, it's had a heck of a rally, so it's going to consolidate a bit. But nevertheless, it's not far off its all-time highs. And where else have we got copper? Where is copper? Copper, Dr. Copper. The ton is down a smidge, $9,582 a ton. But it's rolled over, of course, from a recent high there, over 10,000, after Chinese stimulus promises didn't meet expectations. Okay, so macro news. Story number one, holding their breath. UK budget weighs on consumer confidence. I think this is from Guardian Business. British consumers' confidence. No, this is from Reuters. As if it matters. British consumer confidence fell to the lowest level since March. I don't know why I have this stupid thing in my head when I see British consumer confidence about people going into a shop thinking, oh, should I buy this? Does it look good on me? Does it make my bum look big? I don't know. I don't look nice in this. Whereas if when you're confident, yes, I'm wearing this crop top. I don't care if I'm a 50-year-old bloke with a bald head and a beer belly. It looks good on me. I feel confident. Yeah. Anyway, British consumer confidence fell to the lowest level since March as concerns about the possible tax hikes dented sentiment in the lead-up to the new government's first budget next week, a long-running survey showed today. Market research firm GfK's consumer confidence surveys edged down to minus 21 in October from minus 20 in September, the lowest since March when the previous Conservative government delivered its last budget. Story number two. Rachel Reeves is to change public finance rules to borrow more for investment. Rachel Reeves will rewrite the government's fiscal rules in next week's budget to allow her to increase borrowing for public investment by around $50 billion. Ms. Reeves would not be drawn on what measure will replace the current rule, but there is speculation that she will favour using public sector debt net of financial liabilities. So public sector net debt of financial liabilities, or catchy PSNFL. So the public sector net financial liabilities includes illiquid assets like student loans and pension schemes, and it counts them as assets, which on current measures would allow for a further $53 billion of borrowing. It's also thought she'll cut out the money the Bank of England's losing on selling bonds, which it bought during quantitative easing. The Chancellor said the second fiscal rule, under which day-to-day spending must be funded from government revenue rather than borrowing, would be unchanged. If you've got a bit of debt and the bank sends you a letter She said, no, I don't need to repay this. I don't need to repay this, actually, because I'm changing the way debt is calculated, okay? It's amazing how governments can do this. Of course, as a person, you can't do that. But I wouldn't advise you doing that, actually, seeing that at the bank. Story number three, macro. Pubs faced widespread closures unless the Chancellor announces extension to business rates relief in next week's budget. The UK's biggest pub companies warned. David McDowell, the boss of Stonegate Group, which pubs include Slug and Lettuce, Yates and Walkabout, said thousands of landlords currently make 12 pence of profit for every pint of beer they sell. 12 pence. So you sell 10 pints and you're making just £1.20 profit. Wow. That's mad, isn't it? You sell 100 pints, 12 quid profit. That's a lot of work, 100 pints being poured for 12 quid profit. Help on business rates for the hospitality sector in England and Wales is set to run out in April. Mr. McDowell said that if this is removed, small publicans will see their business rates bill quadruple from April. That's a big problem. Okay, micro news. First of all, Celebros Technologies, CLBS, the AIM-listed data solutions provider, provides the following trading update for 6 months to the 30th of September. They've changed from pounds to dollars because that's where their business is conducted. Market cap, 110 million. So they say for 6 months, revenues, 17 million versus 16.2. So growth there. So we're looking for growth on these three metrics: revenue, profit before tax, and cash. If they're doing that, they're going to do very well. Adjusted profit before tax of approximately 1 million versus 200K. So they've grown there five times. And cash of $25.5 million versus $17.9 million. And the group remains debt-free. So three ticks in the boxes there. I'm not quite sure of the valuation here. They have got a recurring revenue model, which, of course, provides visibility. And that's increased as well. But nevertheless, it's not that cheap, is it? If you double that up, say, 2 million of profit for tax, to 110 million, nevertheless. They said, anyway, the company says these factors provide us with confidence of another year of progress and the delivery of a full year performance in line with management expectations. So nevertheless, on all three metrics there, that company is improving. And once you find a company that improving, then you're just going to check out the valuation and see, is it a good buy? Is it reasonable value for money here? Next, Chapel Down. The ticker here is, this is a English wine producer, of course. CDGP's ticker announced a strategic review on the 25th of June. They say, having evaluated a number of opportunities, this review is now complete, with the board concluding that there were no transactions that would create superior long-term shareholder value than Chapel Down remaining a standalone AIM-listed company. I'm taking from that, they've had no offers, pretty much. Or they may have had an offer, but a low ball, whatever. So they just trudge on. Accordingly, the company is no longer in the offer period as defined in the takeover code. And then they go down to trading here. They say trading, Chapel now expects the full year net sales revenue to be low single-digit decline from the prior year. This revenue impact, alongside the expected reduction in gross margin from a higher weighting in 2024, will still result in trading operating profit for the full year, but it will be lower than 2023. So they will be, they're trading an operating profit, but it'll be lower in 2023. Why do they word it like this? It's very unspoken English, isn't it? RNS is sometimes, I don't have dyslexia. I don't think so. I've never been diagnosed. I do find them very hard to read. And so I have to reread them over and over again if they're not in plain English, you know? Anyway, market cap at Chapel Down. In fact, where's let me just check out where Celebros is, the share price Celebros. They are up just shy of 1% to 282 a share. Chapel Down is down 18.74%. So their market cap is round about, sub 80 million now, 80. So not cheap, considering for the first six months, H1 of this year, Their revenue was 7.1 million versus 8 million last year. Profit before tax was 40K versus 2.4 million last year. And the net debt increased to 5.8 million versus 1.2. So every metric there is not improving, deteriorating. The debt is a bit worrying. So they say operating profit will be lower than last year, and they only made a profit before tax of 40K last year. And that was down from 2.4 million. And debt's gone up four times. So you can see why they underwent a strategic review. I shouldn't think they'd be popping the corks there on their full year results. Next, this amused me slightly, this. This is Coral Products, CRU ticker. And they are a group of specialist business. Oh, man. Do you know, I've got this odd thing when I talk, I start yawning. Is that a symptom of something? Probably something serious, probably. Coral Products, a group of specialist businesses in design, UK manufacture, and omni-channel supply of a wide range of bespoke plastic products. Already, plastic products. Anyway, listen to this. They announce, in the light of the continued challenging trading environment, Coral has entered into a cost rationalisation exercise, and reflecting this, by mutual agreement, Lance Burns, Group CEO, has resigned. So basically, how does that work? The board just goes, Lance, yeah. Now, we're going to undergo a cost rationalisation programme. CEO Lance says, yeah, that sounds good. As a result, you're sacked because your wages go a lot there. Yeah, but I run the company. Yeah, I know, but, you know, it's, if we chop you, we're going to save in a couple of hundred grand a year. See? Oh, okay. Well, it sounds quite sensible, apart from me not having a job. That is a tricky bit, but we'll be saving quite a bit of money. Oh, okay. Well, I'll resign then. Well, yeah, okay, fair enough. Or we'll sack you. I'll resign. Okay, brilliant. Well done, we've saved a bit of money there. Market cap, 5 million. Forecast for this year, 2025, revenue of 31.2 million versus 31. So it's gone up a little bit, but the margins have been squeezed and they're going to a loss before tax of 400,000, pretty much. And profit before tax previously was 800K. So they've gone from 800K profit, forecasting a loss of 400,000, but top line is flat, pretty much. And what about debt, cash? They reckon their debt will be net debt. There's no debt they'll have of 7 million, pretty much. There we are. Net debt of 7.8. Oh, in fact, from 4.6 to 7.8. I'm trying to work that out on the fly, sorry. I'm not on a fly, sitting on a fly. I'm bigger than that. Yeah. Next, this is telling. Indeed, IGP, the leading cybersecurity software company specialising in digital identities, today announced the launch of a share buyback programme to acquire ordinary shares up to the gross value of £1 million. £1 million! This was circulated a while back. I don't know if I covered this on this podcast, where a broker bank were talking about the budget and what companies should be doing, AIM companies. And one of the suggestions was conducting it. In fact, who's their broker? Because one of the Cavendish, Nomad broker, that's Cavendish, okay, suggested in the uncertainty conducting a buyback on AIM stock because a sell-off is going to happen. Anyway, they do say, with the current uncertainty on the AIM market regarding HM government's autumn budget relating to the potential changes in inheritance tax, the possible removal of business property relief for qualifying companies quoted on AIM and the resultant company's share price volatility, the board have decided to commence a buyback program. I don't think the volatility is down to that, though. Yeah, they've got, listen, some great contracts. They seem like a good business. But the question is, you've got to question their valuation. Like, they have been doing very well. But if you look at the forecast, they are a market cap now of 92 million. And the forecast revenue is literally for 16.1 million versus 19.9 reported this year. So there's a drop there. And the profit before tax is forecast to drop to 3 million from 5.6. They do have cash of 17.2. So the enterprise value is, of course, round about 76 million. Nevertheless, so you've got to question the valuation when you have the profit dropping like that, 60-odd percent drop in profit. So it will help the share price, of course, when you buy up stock. Where are they today? They are literally up 6.5% to 167. But this was valued even more highly. It did hit like £2.12 a share. You've got to realise, based on those kind of that valuation there, wow, and those that multiple, that profit, it's quite highly valued. This is interesting. Kuth, K-O-O. Now, they're the second replace in a while back. One of their biggest shareholders, I owned about 33% of the company, decided to sell down about 10% of their holding. And since that, the share price has not recovered because they had, they are a global leader in youth digital mental well-being. And they had their pilot in Pennsylvania cancel. Now, Pennsylvania is one of these swing states, isn't it? But they got a big contract in California worth $188 million. Anyway, they say, provides a statement regarding the movement of the share price, which took place on the afternoon of the 24th of October 2024, following the publication of a newsletter article regarding its service in California, which contained outdated information that underestimated the uptake and the impact of Soluna in California. Soluna is one of their products. The company has provided a statement that goes into more detail regarding the article, which can be found on its website. Anyway, so the worry was, I think, the read across was, will California cancel? Because Pennsylvania was only a pilot. It was only worth $3 million. Whereas this Californian contract is worth $188 million. Over a four-year period. And they said the company's contract in California has not changed since it announced on the 4th of July, 2023, valued at $188 million over a four-year period. And they said the board reiterates that its expectations for 2024-25 remain unchanged. Now, this has been massively oversold. If they're sticking with those targets, the targets are quite good. And I'll go into them in a bit now. But they're now market cap. This has dropped by like 50% since October, pretty much. Since the 8th of October, since that placing happened, secondary placing, the biggest shareholder placed shares, it's down by 50% from 318 down to 163. And yet, which takes the market cap to 16 million. I'd urge you to check out the interim results. Anyway. Sorry, something stuck in my throat. Forecast for 2024 are revenue 67.4 million versus 33.3. So double their revenue forecast for this year. And they did the board reiterates expectations for 24 and 25 remain unchanged. Profit before tax, PBT for 2024, is expected to be 9.44 million. Versus a loss previously of 1.9 or 2 million. So that's a heck of an improvement. At the interim, they had cash of 15 million, no debt. So the enterprise value is around about 45 million. And you look at the profit here, this is literally, just look at the PE on this. So a forward forecast PE now of, I've got the wrong one here. Sorry, bear with me. I've got the wrong card. I'm looking at my Crap League and going down to Kuth. So, forecast PE now of 7. Forecast revenue growth, 102%. Forecast profit before tax, 580%. So, if they are reiterating that the California contract is for 4 years and it's not going to change, and that Pennsylvania contract, which, gave the share price a wobble, which is only worth $3 million, doesn't make any sense. Let's see, if they are nailed on for those revenues, this is oversold massively on worries that it didn't recover from that placement. But maybe do your own research on this one. It seems like, the worry around where we are at the moment, presidential elections, the budget, that secondary placing that happened, it's really pulled the rug from under Couth. And it's now down at a price where it was before they even announced this contract, which is crazy. Anyway, there we are, doing research. Next, Van Elm. Ticker, V-A-N-L. V-A-N-L. UK's largest ground engineering contractor announces that its Canadian rail subsidiary has been awarded two strategically important contracts by OnExpress, the delivery consortium responsible for the design and delivery of a $20 billion Canadian dollars GO expansion infrastructure upgrade program for the Toronto rail network on behalf of the infrastructure owner Metrolinx. There's a lot of different subsidiaries named in that. Anyway, they say, in conjunction with the role of strategic partner supply, Vanel has been awarded the contract to undertake track bed investigation works in support of the GO expansion program, with works to run through 2025, and they are expected to be worth around about $5 million Canadian dollars to the group. So they talk about 20 billion up there, but actually it's worth $5 million Canadian dollars to the group. What's a Canadian dollar worth? Let's have a look. Canadian dollar to, maybe I should have done this beforehand, to pound. Canadian dollars, pound, so five, it's worth 2.78. 2.78 million pounds, that's what that's worth. So Van El, by the way, Couth is down 7%, even after that reassuring statement. And yesterday, sorry, I should be looking at the share price as we go. Yesterday was down 22%. Down to 7%. And that's after that reassuring statement. Anyway, Van El. Okay. They are, what are they? Market cap, 43 million. Their share price today is up just shy of 4% to 42 pence, 42.2 pence. Forecast for 2025, 146.1 million in revenue versus 139.5. So growth there, 7 million pounds. And they're saying profit for tax of 6 million versus 5.1. So margins are a bit thin, but nevertheless, it's, it's doing well. Let's look at Van El's cash. I'm all over the place today. Van El? Their cash as at the 30th of April was 6 million, down from 8.8 previously. So do they have any debt? No debt. That's decent. Always worth looking at that. Good. And they pay a dividend about 3%. So there we are. Some good news there for Van El. That's it, by the way. I hope you have a nice weekend, and whatever you're doing, whatever you're up to, play safe. And next week's the big week, of course. We have the budget, the Halloween budget. Woo! Again, just to remind you, my book is on pre-order. In fact, today I had a meeting online with a guy called Billy, who's in charge of supervising me through recording the audiobook. I'm doing it myself. Why not? It's partly about me. It's not all about me. In fact, one of the chapters is, it's all about me. Well, this chapter is. So I do a bit of backstory. So I'm recording with him. I think we're starting that in November. We're doing 4 days, 4 hours a day recording. Wow. That's going to be knackering, isn't it? Just recording, talking for 4 hours. I talk a lot anyway, but 4 hours nonstop, that's going to be tricky. Anyway, it's now available on pre-order. I really appreciate if you ordered it. Search for How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, a three-step strategy for stock market success. Or you can go to sharepickers.com and click on the link at the top of the page there, the book. And if you listen to this podcast and like it, by all means, please, 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 it does help. My figures are going up nicely on this, but I want to go even further, get a wider audience. And the way of doing this, apparently, is by getting decent reviews and five-star reviews on there. And if I get that, then a bigger audience will come in, just organic. I don't know. It'll come up in searches, I don't know. Thanks anyway if you do that. I'll be much appreciated. Have a nice weekend. Speaky next a weeky. It is Friday, isn't it?
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.